Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Talking in Stations Midweek Update. This is Season 1, Episode 13 on Valentine's Day, if you're here in the U.S., or the day after, February 15th, if you're somewhere else in the world. So, on today's show, we have the usual hosts. My name is Artemis Alposa, a member of the network. We've also got Ron, USMC, from Test Alliance Please Ignore.
Hey, guys.
Also joining us today, you can see him on camera, we have Griffius from the Kronos Ritual.
What's going on?
And we also have a member of Digital Dopamine, fantastic name, Philip Ricker.
What's up, guys?
Why is that a fantastic name? We don't get the fantastic name shout out.
There's alliteration. It's got
I'm sorry, we're not
fun words to say. Like Kronos is a solid word, but Ritual is a bit too.
It's a bit of a mouthful. I wish I'd sort of thought more about it before we really got going.
You really
going,
should. I mean, what's your Alliance logo going to be realistically? Because I've got some fantastic concept art from Philip, but I've got nothing from you.
It's been 2 years and 4 months in the making, and nobody has stepped up with any cool Alliance art. So
it's going to be really hard to beat that purple octopus, the scary wormhole people.
That is really sweet. Yeah, they knocked it out of the park. They really have. There's some really cool Alliance logos that Wormhole Corps have, and I guess none of us are very creative. Like by us, I mean me and mine.
Well, on the
like
bright
Code's,
side,
Wormhole thing. It's pretty.
The corporation in court in code that is the Wormhole Corp.
Maybe. Yeah, I hear they've moved in. The New Order Outreach Division.
Didn't they? They killed two Hells with the Lashak fleet or a Drakovic fleet the other day. That was nuts.
Yeah, that was an insane BR. I think is that why? Wait, Ron, that wasn't you guys, was it? No, it never. It wouldn't be.
Oh, we never lose.
No, you guys. Yeah, you've never.
Especially
you've never fed to.
Yeah, especially not to Code.
To be honest,
Ron is definitely not got some PTSD issues with Code.
I do have some issues with them. Like
the pre-show chat has just been Ron.
I don't know the right word about Wormhole.
The first thing that Ron did was insult me because of my Wormhole affiliation. So I think that there's something he's not telling us.
Okay, I feel like we really want to get to the Wormhole stuff, but first we got to update some folks on things that have been happening. We'll jump through it real quick, although it is pretty important stuff. We had some announcements from CCP, actually quite a few. There was an update this Tuesday. You can read all about that, or actually watch all about that, on the latest episode of Eve Pulse. CCP released 3 new dev blogs, one saying, hey, an ATA isn't happening this year, an Alliance tournament. That got a bunch of buzz. You can see an interview by CCP Falcon and Elise Randolph talking with Matterall on TIS. There's a Twitch VOD up on it. It should be on our YouTube soon, and also being pushed out through the podcast RSS feed. There's also a new update on the chat system, and for anybody who is unfamiliar with all of the issues with the chat system, just go browse r/Eve. You'll know that CCP is reimbursing us with some skill points. Everybody's getting 500k SP on the highest skill point character on their character sheet, and also the chat system is not being reverted, so they're keeping the new system. They did some major updates. They're liking the way it's performing, so we're continuing on with the new chat system as prep work for the 64-bit client, which is coming soon, TM. That's all of the CCP news, very much glossed over. There's a bunch of other stuff about it that you can find on TIS website. Getting into some NullSec stuff, which you guys actually may know some more about. We've got fighting going on basically everywhere we talked about last week. We had some big fights happen actually more recently in Scalding Pass, the Kalvala Expanse, and even Ethereum Reach that I want to quickly highlight for you. First of all, in Scalding Pass, previously we mentioned the fighting going on between Scourge and the Cure, but Fraternity has started brawling it out with Brightside of Death once again. They've started actually taking Brightside of Death Sov, and that resulted in a bit of a brawl with Capitals fighting over an Athnor that resulted in nearly 100 billion is killed. So that was cool. Something to keep an eye on, as Brightside of Death, they still have one constellation full of Sov, but they've already lost almost an entire constellation. Looking down here in Scalding Pass. So keep an eye out for fights going down in this area. See where Brightside of Death, if they do get kicked out of here, they're probably going to be looking for a new home, so it'll be interesting to see where they land. In other news, we had a fight in Ethereum Reach. this was not actually a fight with the Aetherium Reach residents per se. We had Laserhawks bashing Citadels with Super Capitals, pulling an old Seal Yourself move. And Pandemic Horde and Pandemic Legion took notice, decided to bait them out and drop on them. And so they got two Nyxes and a Avatar kill for that. So good job to those guys. Last thing to quickly go over is a which the kill board will not load for me, that we had over in the Kalvala Expanse. It was a massive brawl. We had Pandemic Horde and Northern Coalition Dot dropping carriers to defend a Sotio. And Goonswarm and Tess showed up. There was also some third-party action from Skill Yourself with some bombers. That was also a massive brawl, if I can get up here to find the actual final ISK count. Looked like another 60-70 billion ISK worth of losses. So action is happening literally everywhere in EVE right now, and it's a fun time to be playing EVE. Let's talk about a particular style of playing EVE and bring the guests in. So, Griffius, can you introduce yourself and your group for us?
Yeah, sure. As was mentioned, I'm Griffius. I don't know how much history you want me to give about myself as a player, but it's not that interesting, to be honest. The most interesting chapter is what started with the Kronos.
All right, we'll start there.
Which was I guess I can give a little bit of background because it does sort of lead into the origin of the corp. But I technically started playing EVE in 2008, and I really mean playing loosely because I was running missions in HiSec. I added my Drake, then I had my Raven, my Navy Raven, and then I finally ground enough level force to buy Golem, and I was like, well, I just won EVE, so I'm done. And so I stopped playing. I would say that the idea of EVE always really spoke to me. It really appealed to me, so it kept me coming back every couple of years. The second time I came back was probably in maybe, I don't know, 2010. And I was looking for, some NullSec content because I heard that that's where the real game was. Like, that's how you, that's where everything happened. That's where you went if you wanted to play, like, the real EVE. So I joined the Concordiate, I think, at the time, which lived in, we lived in Outer Reach. Or is that right? I don't remember where we lived. It was actually pretty boring. I'll be honest. It was a lot of we did like rupture gang stuff. It was honestly pretty blobby, and I was pretty disenfranchised with the whole thing. It really didn't do it for me. Like the whole game to me at that point kind of seemed like your fleet was either bigger than theirs and you'd win, or it was smaller and you had to run away. So I met some good guys there, but it really just didn't hold me gameplay wise. So fast forward to, I guess it was 2016. My friend tells me that EVE is better than ever and that I should play it. So I did. I reset my accounts. I logged back in and I joined my buddy in a wormhole corp that was called Patriot Security Services, which was in the Alliance new signature. And by the time I got there, that Alliance was pretty much dead. I was active. Two other guys, I think, were active. One of them was my good friend, and I feel pretentious saying this, good friend and director now, Joe Castis, who basically showed me that you could play EVE in a small gang style. He showed me the, like one of the first fights I think I ever saw him win. He was flying, I don't know, like an Orthrus or something. I know it's pretty cancerous, but he fought a grid of like, eight or nine dudes and he won. And I had never seen that before. I didn't even think that was possible. But it really opened my eyes to what you can do in this game. And it made me realize that there was more to it than just having a bigger blob than the, a bigger blob than the opposing force. And that's what really got me hooked. I would say wormhole life in general, I thought was pretty cool. Having no local, relying on D-scan felt very sort of clandestine, like submarine style gameplay. And then like nano gang fighting, like flying kitey fast ships. I had never done that before. I didn't even know that was something that people could do. So that really showed me what was possible in Eve. And, you know, I had always sort of wanted to try making a corp, but the real motivation was that there were some, you know, of the couple people that were still active in New Signature, there were a couple sort of unsavory characters that really kind of killed the experience for me. And so I was thinking, and I sort of talked to Jocasta about this, I was like, why put up with this? Like, if we make a corp, then we can control who we play with, and we only have to play with guys that we like. That is how this got started. So early on, we moved into the first C2 null static we found. We were thinking that it would be fun for our play style, which to give a little bit of background, New Signature was in a C4 with a C3 and a C5 static. And null connections would appear randomly in the chain, but it wasn't a regular thing. So we would sort of take whatever we could get. And, you know, that was okay, but we'd end up going like 20, 30 jumps for a roam, which, you know, it's not so bad. But now that I've spent 2.5 years living with a null sex static, I like 20, 30 jumps for a roam sounds insane. But we thought we'd move into a hole with the null static, and we did, and we really had no idea what we were doing at the very beginning. I thought that we would just have a bunch of, like, you know, alpha clone, like 2 mil skill point players flying caracals. And then, you know, somehow 2.5 years later, we are, we're still at it. You know, we're undocking Leshaks and Lokis and Legions and whatnot, and we're having a great time jumping out null and getting beat up on, and hopefully, you know, beating some people up in the process.
I definitely want to talk later on about if and how the introduction of Triglavian ships has changed what you guys can do as far as your PvP is concerned, especially in such a very heavy capital meta when it comes to crabbing and nullsec, which are your main targets, as I understand it. But first, I need to introduce, we got a new guest on the show, last minute edition, Pal Dave, who is the CEO of Digital Dopamine, as I understand it. Say hello, Pal Dave.
Hey, Dates. How's it going? Having fun?
So, Pal Dave, you are EUTZ. Thank you very much for staying up with us. And you are from the same group as we previously introduced Philip Rector, or Wrecker, is from. So do you guys want to quickly give us an introduction of your group? As I understand it, you're a relatively new organization, but pilots who've been around the scene for a while.
Yeah, so like we're kind of like an off-break from PL, NC, and Odin's Call. It all come together pretty quickly. And yeah, so we're relatively new. It was established over Christmas. You know, there was plans and discussions a bit before Christmas, you know, and then it really did start to materialize just after that. Odin's Call are really good guys, but we left there as we had different, like, views on what we wanted to do in respects to coming out of the wormhole and messing people's day up. So we decided that we would move back into Hotline K162's old home, which I contacted their CEO and we discussed, and I purchased a wormhole off him, and in faith that we would bring the same style of play back to NullSec.
You'd use it for good and not evil.
Wormhole sales are not all scams?
They're not. No, I contacted because I think when Hotline K162 folded into Of Sound Mind. So I contacted Of Sound Mind's FC, Ellie, spoke to her. She put me in contact with the Hotline K162 ex-CEO. And yeah, there was no scam, surprisingly.
Wow. So I want to get back to quickly discussing the Triglavian ships, because this is something which were, when they were released, touted as the way for subcaps to beat capital ships. They're also supposed to be fantastic structure bassing ships. I didn't think they'd be that good at it, but apparently I was wrong for once. So let's chat about how you guys used to fly before the Triglavian ships came out, and then sort of how things have changed. And I think, Philip, because you've been around for so long, you may be the best one to talk about this one.
I think the biggest change, and I think it's twofold, is one, there's more capitals. I started about 2 years ago in Tamoxa Zero's corps, full broadside, and Hunjutim and Tengus were kind of the big thing then. And after that, I went to a C5 group, and that was about when the strategic cruiser changes came around. So everybody swapped 100M in Lokis. And with more and more capitals, I think, coming into NullSec, 100M in Lokis were really hard to use because it's a 16-second or plus align time. So it's really hard to evacuate grid. And so I think a lot of people have swapped to using the Triglavian ships since they've come out. And more importantly, I think the mobile Sino inhibs have really altered our ability to use brawling Triglavian ships since they can go down so much quicker. And they're a little easier to keep alive as long as it's a Rorqual or some sort of non-super carrier. But really just shifting more from a super kitey focus to a close range focus with some MJDs and some Sino and hip protection, I think, is what we've seen in the past 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, if I may, I think that's the real advantage because we flew, you know, 100 men like everybody else. We had that 100 men Loki doctrine for a long time, and it worked well, but it was super defensive. Like you couldn't put that much pressure on the grid. So, you know, it was like, it was basically like it was heavy missile Lokis, right? And then I think we had like, I forget if it was a Lachesis or some kind of weirdo like 100 mm Proteus, but you could do DPS like 60, 70 kilometers away and you could hold tackle, but you couldn't really apply pressure in the form of like newts, which I think are so critical. So most grids, like sure, you could survive on grid with, you know, two supers, three carriers and a fax, but you couldn't really do anything about it.
Nothing's gonna die.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, you can maybe kill some fighters, which is not that exciting. And what you can really do with Leshecs now is get up close, do so much damage that sometimes they don't even have a chance to respond. And if they do, like, you can break reps, you can newt. It's just a much more aggressive style of doctrine and style of play that I think really lets you win some grids that were just like, you know, must leave scenarios in the past.
So the Triglavian ships have a reduced size. I think I forgot.
Yeah, they're low mass, which makes them good for wormhole use.
Are they still bigger than the SOE ships, like the Nestor?
They're bigger than the Nestor, yeah. The Nestor's cruiser size is like 20 mil or something, and I think the Leshak is like 60 or something. I just kind of pulled that out of my ass, but it sounds it sounds close to correct for me.
That's around 70.
Okay, there's
70.
Wow, I was close.
You are right though. You know, there was many a time you take 100 mm Loki grid, and you can hold grid relatively well, but you just can't do anything. You know, you got 20-30 Lokis, but it's not going to break a fat.
Yeah, it was so frustrating. Or anytime soon. It's like we had great forms, and we would be on grid. Like, okay, like let's beat them up, and they sign a one fax in, and your whole fleet is impotent. And like 20-30 would be like a big fleet for us. Like a lot of effort goes into that.
I remember times in Volta where we would be shooting Ninaz with 20 Lokis, you know, and it's like literally 45 minutes later, is this guy going to run out of cat boosters or, you know? But you are right. Leshecs have definitely gave C2 NullSec groups that upper hand because 9 times out of 10 when you jump through a NullSec, it's a race against time to, depending on what objective you want to achieve, wherever you want the fight, whether you want the game. You know, and that solely comes down to what type of space you're in. Everyone's space is different. The Torrid is different to Delve. Delve is different to, say, anywhere in the drone regions. So
let's dive a bit more deeply into that. And quickly, for those, I failed to mention it earlier in the show, all of our guests today are members of corporations or alliances who live in very specific wormholes. They live in wormholes which have static connections. These are connections that will always spawn to a particular area of space. They have statics to a NullSec system, as well as to another wormhole system, which we may talk about a bit more later. So the way these wormholes work is they're a bit like gates, where you can travel through them and go somewhere else, go to another system, but they randomly spawn throughout New Eden. So these Nullsec statics will always spawn in a Nullsec system, but you never know which Nullsec system it's going to be. So as Pal Dave was just mentioning, you could spawn in Delve, or you could spawn in Detrid, or you could spawn in the drone regions. You don't know.
Yeah, Delve spawns don't count. We roll those right away.
Something about a lot of the capitals out that wormhole.
Yeah, there's like a smell of Rorqual and Spod when you jump a Delve hole, so you kind of just get out of there as fast as possible.
Delve holes are okay, you know. You just got to approach it in the right manner. We have quite a bit of fun.
We honestly probably have never approached it in the right manner, but maybe we can talk about that later. For us, it's kind of just like a let's roll and find something else type of deal. You occasionally find that one guy that just like, you know, was sitting in his nid ratting, and then like he finished his site, but he's, you know, busy eating Funyuns or something. So then you have a chance to kill him before he wakes up or sits back down and calls in the cavalry.
You dirty wormholers.
Let me say this now, because this is what I wanted to tell you in the pre-show, Ron, is that I did a little poll asking some guys who they felt like the worst space to roll into, like the worst groups to roll into, and it was right away, it was like Test and the Initiative are cat blobbing fun stompers.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to take that as a plus then for us.
It can be. If you want to be a cat blobbing fun stomper, you've done a
tier junkie. Yes. Tier junkie. Yes. You're getting a call out on comms. I hate you and your Erebus every damn time.
Okay, check and a check. Okay. And please just tell me, when do I start pressing F1? I'm ready.
So I've got a video playing right now where on stream for those who are watching there, where you've got tackled some stuff just in a couple of Vedmax and some support. Griffius, I talked about this with you a little bit, or maybe it was with your Diplo Yan before the show, the different styles that various groups use when they roll these statics, right? So your group, as I understand it, you typically do a more skirmishy style, right? So you don't have a preformed fleet of what used to be like 30 Lokis, which would now be a bunch of Leshaks and support. You guys go out and you sort of roam around with skirmish type ships. And if you get something tackled, if you see a fight that may be available, then you ping and you quickly form a fleet. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah. That's pretty much exactly what we do. We've never really been the type of group that would form up first and then jump. Occasionally we'll run a doctrine just for fun. A little while ago, like ran a harpy fleet just for kicks. But I would say like 95% of our content just comes from rolling our null. So forcing it to close and then getting ready to jump into a new system and then just going out there with straight up kitchen sink, like pretty much whatever we feel like. It's tackle, of course. But go on.
Pal Dave, you said that your group has a significant portion of it who came from Odin's Call, and Odin's Call was one of the groups who was described to me as the ones who would form up a fleet before they would rage roll their hull, looking for capital targets. Did you guys continue with that gameplay style? Have you swapped over at all? What do you guys do?
I mean, in a respect, we do that. You know, with Drekabax as such. Or a Loki doctrine, like, you know, you kind of pick between taking out Lokis and gank shield Leshaks. As much as a meme as that sounds, it really does work in some respects. But a lot of the time, you know, you've got a good dude pretty much roll the hull. It's being rolled, I would almost say, 15 hours a day, different time zones. We have quite a strong EU and quite a strong US time zone, you know, that can operate fairly independently of each other and to a good manner. Day shift and night shift, that's it, yeah. So, you know, we, a lot of the time it's people who are on comms, chilling in the Fortizar or whatever, chilling out, and you've got the hunters, they're out doing a business, and, you know, and once you catch a target or you're, you know, you've got eyes on something you want to set up for a play, whether it be drag bubbles or whatever, you know, you can call for the appropriate doctrine to be fielded, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's pretty much how we run it too. We have doctrines that we call on as responses, right? Like we don't know what we're going to catch, and if we end up, if we bubble a Rourke or catch a carrier or whatever, then you call for people to get in, get in the legions or the Lashaks or whatever.
Off that's, meta doctrine is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like what we do. I think it's fun. I also think that we're pretty insular, so we're kind of disconnected from the meta in a lot of ways, and we come up with our own like independent, probably terrible ideas. But I think that through sheer force of will, we can make our terrible ships work for it.
Is the meta just strictly Vedmax or Triglavian ships plus support? Is there some nuance there that we're missing?
I would say it's mostly, right now, I feel like the meta out the C2 Null is Triglavian ships. I think Odin's Call still uses the Lokis. And then I think, Griff mentioned they kind of do a hybrid of Legions and Lashaks.
Yeah.
But also, then you have like the groups, like we mentioned Code earlier, they have a more meta design for their Lashaks versus just a large scale fleet. Lashak doctrine as well. I think right now there's several different doctrines that are being used by all the C2 Null groups, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think there's a decent amount of variety in terms of what C2 Null groups are doing right now, but the common thread really is like the Triglavian ships. I mean, Drex and Lashaks, I mean, they're too good to ignore. There's just so much DPS, and especially when you're looking at a doctrine from the perspective of a wormhole, or at least this is how I think about it. Manpower is like a critical resource. You have to get as much out of each individual ship as you can, which I think is also like why wormhole doctrines are usually so expensive. Because a big fleet is going to be like 30 people, and there's a good chance that that's maybe like 20 actual guys, and then half of those guys are dual boxing. So you want to get as much as you can out of it. And on top of that, you have your wormhole mass mechanics. So you can't, it would be fun, but we can't pile like 40 Vindicators through a wormhole. it'll close after, 10.
Well, I heard that Tess says if you all click jump at once.
Oh, at the same time. Yeah.
You can get through, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Ron, can you confirm that?
I'm sorry, I don't speak wormholer. Are you guys talking about wormholes that you jump in and being able to jump in them all at the same time? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah. If you all click jump at the same time, you all make it through. It doesn't have time to close.
No, I don't think that's true, is it?
No, it's not true.
I need to try and find the meme video of, there was this sound clip, was it Villy or ProGod? Who had a hurricane fleet?
It was Pro God.
That was trying to travel back through a wormhole.
It was Pro God. Yeah, I know.
Jokes aside, like it's a real consideration. You have to get out. You typically want to come back. So you have a pretty hard limit on what ships you can bring. And that's we mentioned this earlier, but like Lashaks, like the trig ships are low mass, so you can stuff more of them through and still return. And the amount of DPS you get from one ship is enormous.
Yeah. An AT ship just died, by the
way. Oh, really?
Was it Ast?
No. I don't know. Sadie's just died. It just popped up on C-Kill. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to touch back on like Lashaks and actually how powerful they actually are. As is like an example, I think there was like three of us on comms, and I was a couple of frat carriers messing around on a gate. As soon as they saw three Lashaks come from a wormhole, they promptly turned around and ran. But unfortunately, they ran straight into a drag bubble with an inhib off their Fortizar, and they swiftly died. Like, we literally killed it within, you're talking a minute and 60, well, a minute and 30 seconds or 2 minutes. Once you ramp up with the implant, the drug, and you've got three abyssals, heat sinks, you're touching 2.5, 3K DPS, and that's pretty insane.
You're bringing dread levels of DPS out the wormhole.
Yeah. You guys only run three 12K. Abyssal damage mods? Because we just run six.
Shield Lashaks for the win?
Yeah, of course.
Shield Lashaks. We actually have Shield Lashaks for if it's like a quick gank. I don't think all of us have.
We run armor. It works plenty well for us.
I quickly want to.
Go ahead. Sorry. I was just going to say, like, obviously you have your armor for your actual capital fights, you know, like the shield ones would literally be used as a little play to see if you could zonk something before the old Titans come in at 100.
We tackled some Titans yesterday. They kept trying to bows on us. But we were using Kikamoras, actually, which are pretty fun, too. They can survive on grid quite a while. They just don't have the damage.
Oh, your Kikis are fun, too. Yeah, that's more of a skirmish stock. We have people that just like Kikis just because it's fun to have. Like, most of what we do is kitchen sink, like, looking for nano fights. If we do find a capital, then we kind of switch into capital gank mode. And that's when, like, the heavy hitters come out. But, like, Kiki is a great ship to have in just, like, your straight-up kitchen sink skirmish gang.
Another part of that skirmish gang that you guys in particular use is Alliance tournament ships. And this is something I want to transition to because we do have the kill mill from that Sacede, or Sades, however you freaking pronounce that name. The ship that just died. Cades?
Okay. I think it's called a Cades, yeah.
Nobody actually knows.
It's very expensive, and it died to assault frigates, so there you go. But you guys fly them from your wormhole out to random pockets of Nullsec. That is, like, super freaking ballsy. Is it worth it?
I mean...
No? Maybe?
I've never flown one.
Flying uniques? We have one guy that flies a Cades. I'm just gonna guess. I think you have to define, like, what is worth it mean? I mean, because it's fun. I mean, it's certainly fun. I think I was talking with a non-Eve friend yesterday about what it is that I do in this game, and it came up because I mentioned that I was going to be on a podcast, and we talked about why. I think, like, wormhole or C2 null is fundamentally different from like big, you know, soft null groups, is that the only motivation for us to fight really is fun. Like, we're not fighting for sov. Like, there's not, you know, we're not fighting for moons generally. Like, we're jumping out and we're just trying to have a good time. So I think it, you know, I've never been involved in soft null, so I may not be super qualified to speak here, but what I can say for us is that it's all about what's fun. Like, there's no motivation other than just trying to have a good time.
But on the same note, there's more risk living in wormholes when eviction attempts come down. I think when we fight, I mean, granted, null fights for a lot, but, you know, I mean, a lot of people are fighting for AT ships. I mean, everything, a lot that you might own might be in the wormhole. And you could lose it in an eviction.
Yeah, sure. But, you know, I think outside of eviction attempts, like, it is about fun. And when it comes down to an eviction, then sure, it's everything you own in one spot. Like, you, of course, you're going to pull out all the stops to try to defend your home. That, you know, that's just the nature of the game. I would say that, like, thank God our content cycle is not eviction defense. That, yeah. You know, that comes up like once a year, and that's not very fun. So,
you know,
on any given night, we're rolling looking for fun content, and if that means bringing out your AT ships, like, I don't think, well, I mean, I would never say no. I would never be like, no, you can't bring that out.
For digital dopamine, I know that one of our AT pilots is a member's wife, and she's fighting a terminal disease, and she loves getting to see other players smile, and so she flies all of his AT ships until she can't anymore, which is kind of neat.
Well, that's a good use of them, you know, like something kind of memorable, something kind of historic, you know. I think that just the value of them almost makes them, you know, you just can't undock them unless you're like a crazy person, you know what I mean?
One of those would fund my nano ships for another 40 years of Eve.
Ron, are you one of those guys that, like, let's say you had like a Ferrari in your garage, would you ever drive it?
I had a Ferrari for like 3 years, and I looked like an idiot in it. But I always wanted one. I had it, and I'm a really tall guy, and it came up to my eyes, and I looked like a like a goddamn fool in it. So yeah, I got rid of it.
Yeah, okay, all right, fair enough. I expect you to say no for the record. I'd love to talk about your Ferrari later. But my point was, like, if you have the ship, like, what the hell is it doing sitting in your hangar?
Yeah, I think, you know, to the earlier point, because it's not as much losing the ship, like, whatever, but, you know, with an AT ship, you just want it something special. You want something nice. And, like, you know, like something like that, you know, that's memorable, that's historic, rather than like getting caught on a gate, you know, something ignorant. And it's like, you know, a Titan or something, you know, like you just, if you want to lose it, you want to lose it in like some grand fashion, you know, and it's like kind of an event rather than, you know, something silly, you know, that, oh, I didn't click, you know, a line first, so I'm dead. Like, you know, that's what I meant by it. You know, it's like, yeah, give it the respect that it deserves. That's all.
I did want to touch back on the thing that you guys mentioned about the evictions, because that's one point we haven't talked about yet, and that is the C2s that you guys live in, they're dual statics. So you always have a null set connection, but you also always have a K space or a J space connection. And if I recall correctly, both of your groups live in C2s with a C5 connection?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I think we have a C5.
So,
not sure? You never use...
I mean, we do it throughout the history of the corp. It's seen more use. It's seen less use. I could actually probably talk about that static for a little while, and I won't bore anybody. But you know, in general, like, it really is. I said this. I think this was pre-show. Like, we're as close to not being wormholers as wormholers can be, because it really it's like we just jump out that null static. The C5. It's for us, it's just something we can roll if we want a K-space connection. Like, if we want to find, you know, a hive sec down the chain to do logistics, to bring in ships, fuel, ammo, whatever, that's how it gets used. Occasionally we, you know, we PVE in there. Occasionally we connect to a chest beating wormhole Bushido group that demands an honor brawl at the sun. Other than that, I think that pretty much sums up what the C5 static is for.
How about you, Paldo?
There are some groups out there that roll the C5 coherently with rolling their null sec, such as Inner Hell. I know that they do that, and they actually do find quite a lot of content, you know, farming capitals, oracles, and such. I remember seeing them roll into Laserhawk's home and jump in and gank a Laserhawk's oracle from right under their nose, which was interesting to see. Especially as they, talking about uniques, took a fiend into Laserhawk's home as well. So there is definitely some groups that will roll them for content. I mean, do we do it? Not particularly at the moment, as we're trying to focus on null sec. But yeah, I mean, mostly it's used for ISK making and that connection to the highway, or if someone else has oracles tackled XYZ, you know, and you've got to get a chain to them and chase your content that way. I know that Hard Knocks actually moved into a C2 with a C6 static. So it'd be interesting to see if they use that for PvP or if it would be more to help defend their farm holes.
Well, I mean, I think, Phil, you were saying that they're mostly using it to defend their C6 farm hole.
Yeah, after their eviction, right, Outlaws, and I mean, a lot of people made plays at their C6 base. And
right. The rental empire, the HK rental empire collapsed.
Well, let's quickly talk about that, because you just mentioned Outlaws, and they were previously a C2 NullSec living group, but they were evicted by HK. You also mentioned Inner Hell, who were RSC2 NullSec group, and they also attempted to evict HK. So, like, I'm trying to think, Duralex. Are Duralex also a C2? Because they were the third Russian group who tried to evict the farm holes for HK.
Duralex tend to live in C5 Red Giants.
They got evicted, right?
A lot of Duralex hold a lot of C5 Red Giants, and they like to farm with smart bombs, and they like to get a once they get a wandering null sec into them, they will try to bait you into the hull, and then, you know, your fleet jumps in, and all of a sudden you're greeted by super overpowered smart bombs. or they, I think their actual hull they live in is a C5. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's a C5 red giant with a C6 static. And they raid troll that C6 static in hope of catching Hard Knocks farming or and ninjuring C6 static C5 red giant like sites as well. Because there is a special way that you can run them that makes a lot of ISK very quickly.
So we've got Outlaws, we've got, I've already forgotten their name, Inner Hell, your two groups, we've also got Odin's Call, who we've talked about previously, Hard Knocks, we've got them, there's a corporation within Code Dot. Can somebody remind me of the name of that corp?
New Order and Outreach Division?
Yeah, that corp. What are the other groups who are living in C2 nullsec statics nowadays? And are they like new? Are they old? Because it seems to me C2 nullsec is like where all of the quote unquote elite PvPers are going nowadays.
The most elite, yeah. Bar none. I would just like the newest that I'm aware of is Digital Dopamine, which is currently overrepresented in the podcast. So I think besides that you mentioned Odin's, I guess God, Kingless is not really they ain't really doing much, are they?
Passed away.
They've poured one out for the fallen. So I don't know. I feel like Odin's obviously Kronos, Digital Dopamine, HK. I feel like those are the big active ones. I'm sure I'm stepping on toes right now by forgetting. But
there's a complexity.
Oh yeah, sure. Hateful Intent. Yeah, I think that's a relatively recent addition.
There's complexity there. AU time zone. I think their corp name is Addicted. But they're really.
That's right.
Is Achen Partisans still live in a C2?
Oh, that's
That's actually an interesting. I believe that they have just started back up again. Because I know that they did die for quite a while, internal drama, as far as I understood it. But they have recently started back up again. I've seen them popping up on the kill board here and there. So it'd be interesting to see if they manage to get up.
Life cycle like for these corps? Because it seems like from all of your stories, you've been a member of a wormhole corp that then just sort of died. And so you went and you had to find another one. So like, is this?
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. My corp has not yet died. We got close sometimes, but we ain't dead yet.
Is the turnover rate of like wormhole corporations, particularly in C2 null, particularly high?
So,
I think my corp history.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Philip Ricker's corp history.
I was going to ask, is that the 48-day-old corp? Is that because that one hasn't died yet? Is that what we're thinking?
It takes a lot of effort or a lot of people to roll your C2 null connection. You can't use like a carrier like you can with C5s. It takes 4 battleships in a specific sequence, and then you have to scan it, and then you got to go at it. And you could roll into Outer Ring, and then you could roll into the outer rims of Faith of Bolas, and then you could roll into the very top corner of Branch in your 15 contents. And so for a lot of people, I've moved to several C2 corps because that style for me is fun, and sometimes I've broken it up by going to low sec or somewhere else. But a lot of groups get burnt out on that, and they're such tight-knit groups, instead of going somewhere else, they end up just going ahead and calling it a day on Eve is the way.
How many C2s are there in total?
There are.
Like in the game?
And C2s in total or C2s with null statics? Because I can tell you for C2s with null statics, there are 60. It's 50 with a C5 and I think 10 with a C6 static.
There's also C3s with a null static, but they don't have a dual static, so no.
Oh God!
Only
don't
few live in a C3. Don't live in a
C3. And they're also significantly more difficult to roll because they have a 3-bill mass versus a 2-bill mass. Right. So it's harder to roll it, especially if you don't know the starting mass.
I cannot imagine living in a C3. You just you're relying on quote unquote wandering connections that you have no control over to get reliable high sec connections. So you're just totally at the whim of the wormhole.
I did it for a while.
Wait, sorry, I say it. What did you say, Ron?
I said, but it's only one above C3 versus
C2.
C3.
So I know.
I don't see why it would be such a big Is it the mask
difference? Blops groups have liked the C3 if you're just going to live out of it in like an Astra and go out and blops in, like 5 or 6 dudes that have done that before, because with the enhanced mask, you can take your blops in and out without any fear of it rolling, right? Without having to offline your plates or this or that.
Yeah, the also in general, the quality of life, it decreases as you go up in a class. So C1s are the best, and then C6s are C2s are. That's a complete lie, by the way.
How often do you guys roll the holes every day? Like, how you said it was like tiring. Like, how often do you guys do that? Is that like a job?
It's constant. I mean, if you're looking for content, like that is the content cycle. Is you're rolling that hole, you're jumping out with tackle. At least this is what we do. And if there's nothing within, you know, 6-7 jumps, like then you roll it again. And I think on any given night, like, I mean, it depends on so many things, but like I've definitely been on for nights where we've rolled like 10 or 15 times and just found nothing.
I've been in digital dopamine for 48 days, I've jumped into 222 different null systems. Just
so direct. You're counting? That's embarrassing.
It's the stats. Go, Tripwire keeps stats.
Well, Tripwire, yeah, sucks.
So does Siggy. You have admin on Siggy. It'll tell you how many times you've rolled your C2.
Do I? Okay, I'll check that out later. I did want to talk a little bit about life cycle of C2 null corpse, because I have seen now quite a few that sort of just fizzled out. And, you know, honestly, Phil and I'm interested in what you think about this, but what I've seen happen a lot, both just sort of as a third party observer and actually talking to CEOs of these corps, is that yes, it's a pretty high effort play style. Like you have to actively look for your content. But it also seems like there's a kind of, I don't know how to sort of put this succinctly, but there's like a kind of mindset issue that I think can really sort of pervade and sort of take over a corp. If like the guys at the top, if like the content creators burn out, you know, especially in regards to like capital escalation and stuff, it really, I think it goes downhill quickly. Like I think people get bitter very fast, and because it is such a tight-knit style of play, I think that spreads quickly. You know, I think if you have a couple people that are tired, they feel like they, you know, everywhere they go, they get escalated on, they get cap blobbed, they get their fun stomped. I think it, you know, for some people, it really burns them out. And when that starts to happen, I think it spreads through a corp quickly, especially a corp that is necessarily as small as a, you know, a C2 null group.
I think that's why Kingless sort of fizzled. And I was only in Kingless for a short time until Doki left and a few other guys. But
yeah,
a lot of people have just, it's really difficult with the capital meta. We want you to bring the right amount of subcaps to fight us and a really bad capital pilot and just feed to us, please. And that's not always the case.
There's more nuance than that.
A lot of groups, you know, like the C2NL, say Corps, they generally only go for one style of play. And, you know, like, I think we got to a point where we were killing an Oracle every day. And an Oracle every day is good. But, you know, there's only so many Oracles you can kill before that gets a bit boring. So, you know, you've got to mix up your style of content. You can't always have it straight from the NullSec and, you know, straight into the palm of your hand or straight into a Oracle. You have to start looking elsewhere. For example, you know that this group may form up Balgorns. Okay, so guys, on Friday night, we're going to form up Lokis and, you know, 100 of them Lokis, and we're going to roll for a Malpay hole, and then we're going to jump in, we're going to get them to escalate, and then we're going to farm all of their Balgorns instead of going after their Oracles, you know. Or, you know, you set up carrier squads in certain regions or have dread bombs in regions such as NPC Fountain or Cursed. I mean, like a couple of weeks ago, we managed to drag pull a couple of Oracles of Bastions, I believe they was. We dropped a couple of dreads on them. We killed the Oracles full of excavators, you know, and just as we was about to extract the dreads, we got caught by like a 150 man initiative fleet.
Cap-blobbing fun stopper.
There's certain fun you can have, but you know, you've got to keep it fresh. You've got to mix it up.
Yeah, I will say in general, Phil, I know you were kind of joking when you talked about bringing subcaps on like a terrible cap pilot. I don't think that's actually accurate. I think what we're looking for. And I feel like I'm speaking for CT Nulls as a whole, is the challenge of having as many people, well, not, you know, as many, but, you know, fighting a force that outnumbers you and seeing what you can do. Like, of course, it's fun to, you know, gank the terrible, you know, Funyun eating. I love Funyuns, by the way. I don't want to make anybody think I don't. But, you know, the bad cap pilots, like, sure, that's fun. But I think what, you know, what we're really hoping for every time we tackle a Rourke or a Carrier or whatever is that it, you know, causes an escalation that we can still handle. That's what we're looking for. I mean, we're looking
A bad cat pilot can do a lot of work on a subcapital fleet these days.
I think, you know, what we're all looking for is good fights. And I know that's kind of a meme talking about good fights, but ganks are fun. But I think we're, you know, there's like a sort of shared passion for small gang, like nano content. And I think that's what we're all kind of looking for in the end.
All right. Well, that'll do it. Oh, maybe.
I can give you some pointers if you want to avoid the capital blob for test.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
All right. So if you come through a wormhole and you have, you know, whatever, 30 or 50 Balgorns or whatever it is, and you just want a good fight, don't attack a Rorkel. If you attack a Rorkel, then we're going to hit the button and we're going to start jumping stuff in. If you just want to fight, come to DTAC-P and, you know, come fight us. Like, and we will fight and we will form subcaps or whatever. But, you know, with the Roracles and that, you know, that'll always spawn capitals just out of nowhere. I mean, honestly,
if you tackle a Carrier, it will, or a Rattlesnake that has a Cynoan in Esoteria.
That's again, yeah, that's right. If you attack a Carrier, that kind of thing, because then we just think you're just trying to gank and we're just going to, you know, you're talking about like getting an escalation. I think we have, but I'm not exactly sure, less than 1,000 armor supers. So you might be able to handle that.
Yeah, if it was over 1,000, it would be too much, but under 1,000,
so,
no problem.
I think, I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. Yeah. But if you guys are just wanting to fight, you know, just start roaming through space. Ignore the Roracles, ignore the Carriers. And, you know, one of our FCs will ping you or something, say, hey, you want to fight? And come to DP and we'll fight you. It's all good.
I'm going to push back on that, because there are tons of procures that fly through your space and light a Sino on a small roaming gang. I mean, I get it. It's your space, defend it. I totally get it. But I think that's across Nullsec right now. It's very difficult to find the good fights. But when you find them, it's great. Like Theron Alliance, dude, you love flying against them because they give good fights no matter what.
They're getting kicked out right now. So Therian Alliance are, I believe, related to Fraternity, and their current SOV is in Wicked Creek, and all of their TCUs have been reinforced, but all the iHubs, which belong to a Fraternity, have not. So I don't know the specific details, but it looks like something's gone down and they're getting kicked out. So enjoy the content while it lasts.
Something about those test guys again.
I mean, Fraternity must be protected by something. I don't know what that is, you know, but they're probably protected by something, but other things are not. So adios, muchachos.
All right, let's wrap things up and give some shout outs here. Ron, you got a shout out for us today?
Shout out to the wormhole people. I don't understand you, but I love you anyway.
Love is not the word I would use to describe your portrayed feelings for them, but
it's about that state. Ron, honestly, I feel like you've been saved by the bell a little bit, because I have a lot of words about roaming through test space looking for a fight. If we tackle test Rourke, I guarantee it's desperation. We're looking for anything from you guys.
All right,
I love you too, though. On Valentine's Day. Shout outs. I mean, I want to give a shout out to my whole corp, all the guys watching right now, in particular Amnaria, the trackpad interceptor pilot, and Xavier's PP.
Okay.
You stole it.
I'm sorry. I had to. I know that's inappropriate. I had to do it. He begged me.
Pal Dave, you got a serious shout out for it?
Yeah, we'll give a shout out to Graf, and he is led. Or is it the Iron Foot? Correct me, Phil.
I don't know. It's a regrown foot. That's what I.
For those unfamiliar, Grath Talkin is a member of Paldave's Corporation Grath Talkin of PL fame. And he was actually considering being on the show today, but he had surgery on his foot and is currently high on painkillers. So it probably would have been pretty fun, but we got Paldave and Philip to pick up the slack. So Philip, how about your shout out now that your original one has been rightfully stolen?
Oh, Xavier promised me everything in his hangar if I'd given that shout out. Shout out to Digital Dopamine Stig and his wife, but also shout out to Ibox, who likes to kill himself with his own bomb. So,
all right, that's interesting. My shout out goes to CCP Falcon for being a bro, and like when everybody's getting super angry about the Alliance tournament going on hiatus this year, he just owns up to it and says, yeah, no, I made that decision. Come at me, bro. That's pretty cool. So shout out to you, CCP Falcon. That'll do it for this week's episode of Talking in Stations, Season 1, Episode 13, Valentine's Day Edition. Bunch of fun discussion with some dudes from C2 Nullsec. You can catch the Sunday show this Sunday at 1600 Eve time, and we'll be back again next week. Bit of a spoiler, one of the reasons we didn't, there's a group that I really want to talk to. We mentioned them on the show, the Corporation Within Code, who had the two hell kills with their Draykovic fleet. We specifically didn't talk about them or talk with them because next week we're looking to have some guests from Code to talk about high-sec ganking and other miscellaneous topics. So tune in next episode. It'll definitely be divisive. We're hoping to avoid the edgelordy side of things, but we'll see how things
go. Yeah, Jason Cushion, he's like the most well-known high-sec ganker, and he's a really, really nice guy. He's as close to Code as I want to get. So yeah, he'll be here, and he's awesome.
Definitely be an interesting show to tune into next week. But thanks again to all of our guests, Griffius, Paldave, and Philip. Thanks to Ron, my co-host, and we'll see you guys later.